Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Lounge dignitary Rick Morris. We are going to be getting our Justified episode 6.5 recap underway in earnest momentarily. FX being FX, of course. Letting the episode run over. My man, Jay Jones, will be joining me momentarily, so I'm just going to try and hold the fort until then. But ultimately, tonight's episode brought back some old favorites, Limehouse and Constable Bob, and we are seeing a final confrontation, kind of. Well, I guess you could say a confrontation with Raylan and with Ava, and ultimately, it, wow, didn't see that coming. It, Ava has just kissed Raylan, and this is, Raylan is saying he's going to stick around for a bit, and, wow, well, where is this going? It just got very, very interesting there at the end, personal level. Between Raylan and Ava, and so with that being the final note for tonight, I should be hearing momentarily from FDH senior editor Jason Jones. We'll get him on the phone lines here in a momento and talk about what we saw tonight. We had talked about it previously last week that episode 5.5 last year was really the high point of the season, and you always hope that it's going to build to another high point at the end of the season. Really didn't tend to happen that way. But having said that, we were naturally wondering, 6.5, same point of the season this week, was this going to be the big crazy episode for this year, or at least the middle of this year? And it wasn't, but it continued to lay the groundwork. And just got a text from Jason Jones. Hopefully he will be getting ready to call and be getting on momentarily here in a second. And again, I truly, truly apologize for the disjointed nature of this. When FX ends the episode really past the top of the hour, it really kind of inhibits us from getting going with this thing the way that we would like to and hitting the ground running. And again, the very, very nature of this is that Jason and I are unable to huddle and kind of compare notes before the show. Now, there's a lot to be said for that. I do like the rawness and the spontaneity of it, but FX kind of leaves us holding the bag, so to speak, by letting it go until just really past the top of the hour and leaving it where we are unable to really, really start the show in earnest right off the bat. And it is always a challenge to fit everything in once we get talking about everything that we saw on this episode. So 6.5, I think, had a lot to recommend it. There were a lot of interesting things that were happening. It was really kind of a setup episode, I would say, along the lines of the last couple of weeks here. And again, I would kind of distinguish this from what we saw last year, because season 5, we tended to say a lot, well, I'm sure they're going somewhere with this. And, you know, that was basically just kind of taking it on faith. This year, the way that it's going, there's not any way whatsoever that we can't, that we're not going to see some real escalation here with Raylan, with Boyd, with Avery now as the third element. We saw tonight what apparently is going to be Boyd's way to try and get in there and try and get the vault here. Here we've been thinking it would come frontally, and it looks like it's going to be coming on a subterranean kind of a level. And you just look at that and you think, of course, this is Kentucky. Mines, underground passages, et cetera. And we're seeing how that goes. And it's kind of a natural, I would say, that angle is going to be deployed. And in the end, it was masterful in that I don't think it was telegraphed too much. The way that at least coming into tonight, how Raylan and his men were going to be attacking the issue of getting Avery's money. And Boyd has seemed pretty self-assured about this the last couple of weeks. So you wonder at what point he figured out how to do this, how to get into that vault underneath the pizza place. And I don't know if the weeks ahead will explain that. I don't know if they will explain. Now, I guess you could say last week when he was trying to employ the wizard, he must not have thought of it by that point in time, because gone with this is plan A, if it was plan A. Oh, and there is, I see on the phone lines, Jason Jones on, so let me wipe the flop sweat off my forehead here and go to get this started in earnest. It will be nice to not be the only voice on the line here. We will get this started. Welcome, everyone, to mini episode number 521 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris. I have FDH senior editor Jason Jones on the line also. And, of course, at this point in time, Jason and I are also representing not just another TVsite.com. I am the justified columnist over there. Jason is the underboss on the site, writing columns for a number of TV programs that they cover. I am also covering, by the way, Better Call Saul, if anybody wants to check out those reviews. I imagine there's a healthy crossover between Breaking Bad fans and Justified fans, so anybody who's getting involved in watching Better Call Saul may want to check out the coverage as well. I can vouch for it personally, doing the coverage. But it's good to have Jason on the phone lines here and be able to talk about everything that went down in episode 6.5 tonight. Not the crazy one that 5.5 was a year ago, but this is probably not a season that really needed anything like that at this point. There's a build that's coming. There's a build that's continuing to flow at this point in time. And it looked to me like 6.5 played a pretty good part in that and brought back some old favorites to boot. Be glad to hear what Jason Jones has to say about that. Bring him on the phone lines now. Jason, good to have you on, my man. What did you think of 6.5 tonight?
Well, the sad thing is we've been spoiled a little bit. The last couple of weeks, you know, they may be building block episodes, but they've been really kind of crazy. This one wasn't all that crazy. We have a lot of information to get through, and you know, trajectories have been altered a little bit. Things have changed. Overall, it was a good episode. I don't think it'll go down in this season as one of the ones that we go back and look to. But there were some interesting factors that have been kind of staples so far. And I'm just going to throw one out real quick that I keep mentioning every single week since we've been introduced to him. Sam Elliott's character can be downright frightening when he wants to be. Seriously, he leaves me, not to be hyperbolic, but he leaves me shaking in my boots when he's not happy.
Well, you look at the meeting that he had and the extent to which he intimidated even Ty Walker, the interesting character played by Garrett Delahunt, a guy who himself is a notorious and decorated special teams badass from the military. And this is a guy quaking in the boots of his new employer. So you're absolutely right. He has that ability to instill fear in people. And it was just a brief appearance on the program tonight from Elliot's Avery character as Ty was reporting back to him. And I guess we can kind of get to something that happened towards the end of the episode, because that was in the second half itself. The mishap, and this may go down as being significant because it's a source of intel that will have dried up. They went after Calhoun, the realtor, who they suspected was feeding information to either Boyd or Raylan in helping the land grab to dry up down there. Of course, we know this is the great thing about being viewers that can see things from all perspectives. We know that Boyd and his people are putting the squeeze on the townspeople and saying, don't sell to these guys. They didn't know. They were prepared to go into this torture routine with Calhoun. A little bit of miscommunication there. Choo-choo punches him in the head, and Calhoun is probably dead before he hits the floor. So there's going to be some consequences to come of that, because Avery ordered them to get information, and they silenced the apparent mole, but without learning anything about where he had been flapping his gums, Jason.
Yeah. Let's just say that there's a tab that's going to have to be paid on that one. I don't know where they got Choo-Choo, and he's a fun little side note character, but he's going to end up causing more problems for that side of the equation than good. And the first thought, of course, would be when he's asked, is he even alive? You would think that his first thought would be, well, I hope so. Didn't hit him that hard. But no, Choo-Choo is going to come back with the, if you want somebody to hit him like a little girl, find somebody else. Otherwise, he's getting Amtrak. And how great is the term Amtrak? I think it needs to go down in justified lore right with winging someone. But yeah, there's a huge problem that's going to come out of that. I think Avery is going to just get to a point here, and maybe sooner than later, where enough little things are going wrong that he's going to be shaken from his normally very stoic stance on things. But things are not looking great for Avery right now. And that's not even bringing in what's going on with Boyd and what he thinks he's going to do or what the U.S. Marshals know or don't know. So I mean, Avery's a great character, and he had a great plan. It's just kind of falling apart at the moment.
The way that I look at that, I'll be very, very interested to see what happens in the next couple of episodes, because I've talked about this previously on the show and the fact that there are a number of, and I have learned this from the community around the Wrestling Observer newsletter website, which is essentially like the variety magazine of the pro wrestling industry, of how many wrestling types folks in the industry and related industries really like Justified, because it borrows from pro wrestling booking. And if you look at every season as being sort of, I don't know if you consider it like a long build to WrestleMania or what have you, I'm looking at this stage of the game, 5 episodes out of 13, and I think this is, if we look at Avery as the classic heel who is going to be in the main event at WrestleMania, I would use the analogy and say, it's a little soon for him to be, as they say in the business, showing vulnerability at this point in time. So I'm hoping the thing tonight, I'm hoping that it's a slow build towards the unraveling of Avery, because they've spent 4 episodes prior to this really kind of building him up. I think they need to continue to build him up. It's okay for him to show a little bit of frustration at this point, but I'm hoping it doesn't go too far in that directly too soon. Do you understand what I'm saying about the pacing, Jason? And what are your thoughts about that?
Well, yeah, and pacing is not only is it important for this show, but that's one of those things that I, as a fan of television, often look for. An episode can be plot point wise or information wise, you know, adequate. But if the pacing is right, then it's a whole different discussion, and normally a good one. We've talked pretty steadily on these recaps we're doing for the people about Boyd derailing and how that factors in by the end. And as critical as we seem to think that may be, how they treat this Avery storyline, especially with pacing and how quickly they come to grips with something or how long they drag something on, may absolutely be critical to the overall opinion of, you know, was the experiment worth it and did it work out in the end? And I think that is, as you said, something we're going to have to pay close attention to for the next couple episodes, because we don't want them to, run out of time. We don't want them to blow their load. We don't want them to, make it so that it was a great actor doing a great character for only a few episodes and then it fell apart. So all of that's important, but pacing is critical.
It really is, and we're going to see how they master that in the next couple of episodes and how they go about, as you said, balancing these different considerations here, because you need everything to peak at just the right point in time, because this is not just any season, of course. This is the final season, and one of the things that you tend to get in a final season, we started to see it last week. We had some consequential returns to the program previously with Dickie, with Loretta, and subsequently again, the reunion tour continues tonight with Constable Bob coming back into action, with Limestone, with his top lieutenant, Errol. I don't remember from the end of season four if Errol was in the picture at that point in time when they were dealing with Noble's Holler and when Shelby and LMA were looking for a place to hide. I don't remember. They may have established at that point in time if Errol had gotten his way back into Limestone's good graces. The last I remember of the guy is that Limestone had kind of cast him away at the end of season three, and that Errol presumably earned his way back in by being a stand-up guy and taking a gunshot in the battle with Quarrel. So clearly we know Errol made his way back in. My thought when I saw Limestone tonight was this, because I didn't realize if it was going to be a one-off or not, and it looks like it was going to be a one-off as far as how it played out, is that season three, they seem to run a little bit of a risk for a period of time there of almost having too many balls in the air. I'm satisfied with how it played out with Boyd, with Quarles, with Limestone, but it was a real interesting three-way dance kind of a thing, four ways if you consider Raylan and everything that he had going on that season trying to figure out what was going on down there. So I'm thinking to myself when I see Limestone, this could be really good, but it could be too many pieces on the chessboard, which you and I have indicated could be a potential danger if not executed right. The fact that it looks like a one-off, you know, I'm always glad to get some Limestone on the show, but I don't know if there's room for him on the board this season with everything else going on a prolonged basis.
Well, and that's the beauty of this, I think. Again, going back to the last point, is if they do it right, really pay attention to the details and sort of see the whole scope, as it were, I think it can really be good. But you can't overuse Limehouse. I mean, you had him here, and I don't know what's going to happen when Errol wakes up. But at some point, you know, we had another seven episodes, eight maybe. Limehouse probably shouldn't be seen more than three of the remaining episodes, and his screen time shouldn't even be north of 4 minutes per episode. Because you're absolutely right. At some point, the heavy hitters, right now as we see it, Raylan, Boyd, Avery, you could even incorporate Steenburgen and Win Duffy if you want, as sort of recurring and important to the story. Limehouse is not critical, but Limehouse is nice. Love the character. I love any time that they've brought guys back, and they've done it already this season with Dickie Bennett. So we don't need to see a lot of them, but a nice little sprinkling as sort of a secondary or third level character that we are familiar with, just bringing them in is fine. But the key there is, you know, only so many times for the well on that. You can't overdo Limehouse. He cannot be another player that's sort of in that on that level with Raylan, Boyd, and Avery. He's got to be a has-been or a footnote to what we're talking about. And if they try to do more than that, this whole thing is going to fall apart.
Exactly. You know, whether it be Dickie, whether it be Limehouse, et cetera, I'd be sad in a sentimental way to know that this is the last time we've ever seen them on this show. But we all got to think with our heads, I think, not our hearts. And it's more important to be able to tell a coherent story. And, again, what they do in the last eight episodes, that has to be the paramount concern, is sticking the landing on this thing. A, because it'll give us the best entertainment, and B, for those of us that really love the show and want it to get the permanent regard in the eyes of history, that's what you got to do. You got to stick the landing. You got to get the last season right. I mentioned a couple of the recurring characters that had from past years that have been back on, of course. Let's touch a little bit more on Constable Bob. And this almost seemed more reminiscent of his first appearance, episode 4.1, where he was sort of more the bumbling type character on there. I think if we look at the historic trajectory of his time on the show, it's going to peak, obviously, with what he did, holding his own in the fight with Yolo, getting the better of him, coming out on top, however improbably. And it's going to be kind of surrounded by a lot of buffoonery on either side of that. So this is going to be, I think, a guy that we remember as being potential, having the potential of some moments of glory and having achieved a few of them. But a guy who, in the end, ultimately is nowhere near the level of acclaim that we're going to give to a lawman like Raylan Givens.
Oh, sure. Guys, say though, he's the same old guy. He's got a, you know, he stepped up his uniform and he said his car game. But Constable Bob's a fun character.
He is. There's no question about it. And the way that Patton Oswalt has played him over a period of time, that has been very interesting as well. I alluded previously to a failed interrogation tonight that
yeah.
took place when Calhoun got killed. Another one
sure.
that was, I think, unsuccessful on another level, perhaps, that there was some actual torture involved, but the guy didn't give anything up. Albert Finkus showing a little bit of, you know, spine to him there and not talking. When Wynn and Mike came to try to, you know, I guess you could say, burn the truth out of him with that cattle prod about Ava being a snitch and about him being a part of that whole setup there. It was very, very interesting to me that Rachel and Tim were watching the whole thing unfold on closed circuit in an adjoining room there. I'm guessing that whole thing, and I don't have the benefit of having read anything about this either way, I'm guessing that's part of building the larger case against Boyd, Wynn, and anybody else involved in the coming RICO case that's going on here. But what was done to try to get the information out of him under those circumstances, I thought was very, very interesting. And for the moment, it looks like Ava's going to be on firmer ground because Finkus didn't give her up.
Yeah, not well, as soon as they walked into the room Finkus was in, I automatically believe that it was going to end badly, and whatever angles and trajectory we're dealing with were going to be abruptly altered with the idea of the Wynn Duffy camp knowing that the U.S. Marshals had something to do with him reversing his story and getting Ava released, and then what that ultimately means for Ava. I don't want to say I was proud because he's still a squirrely little d-bag. But there's something to that. There was something that he's getting hit with a cattle prod numerous times, knowing that the good guys are on the other wall not doing anything about it. So at least there's some redeemable quality there. The thing is, I don't think this is the last time either he directly will be involved or the information that he has won't be involved, which means there's something coming. There's something over the horizon. I mentioned this last week, and I don't want people to think this is a direct comparison because it hasn't played out yet, but I don't know if you're picking up on this, but just watching the episodes, especially in the last 20 minutes of each episode, it feels a lot like Breaking Bad in their final run, in that you're sort of always waiting for something horrifyingly bad to happen. And until it does, you're kind of at the edge of your seat, which hopefully sets up for a similarly great finish. But right now, watching Justified, as great as it is also on the other side of that coin a little stressful. But I think that'll make for a great finish.
Agree completely. And certainly when Calhoun was visited in the other interrogation scene by Ty's goons there, you knew something bad was going to happen. I don't know that I foresaw that he was going to die so quickly in that scene, but you're absolutely right. There is that sense of kind of foreboding doom that is hovering over these last couple of episodes here. That is, and this is a great segue to where I wanted to go next, that that sense of doom is what motivated Ava to get out and hit the road. And ultimately, it's funny that much like the previous episode, her and Boyd went their separate ways at the start of it. By the way, Boyd having proposed to her at the beginning of this episode, again, her having passively accepted it. It was very, very interesting that she ever said, oh, yes, of course, we're engaged again. She just accepted the ring and let Boyd think what he wanted to think. That was kind of weird, at least by normal couple standards, I think most people would say. But anyways, they go their separate ways and through the course of the episode, and then they get back together at the end of the episode. Now, we didn't see when Boyd got back together with her at the end of the day. But this one, you know, Boyd will never know just how weird it got with her during the course of it, that she actually intended to run from him, went down to Noble's Holler to have Limehouse help her get away. She was on the run, only, of course, Raylan knew about it, and, of course, the marshals, and that's how they were able to round her up in the end. Raylan with the help, somewhat the help of Constable Bob. But some talk early in the episode about Boyd possibly having her watched for her own protection. At least Ava knows that that's going to be the case. So she'll be able to do something about that conceivably. But her sense of doom throughout this thing here and her sense that Raylan is not taking it seriously enough is proving to be one of the two or three biggest points of conflict through this season. When you've got the confidential informant and you've got the marshal, and there's a palpable lack of trust on both sides. It probably goes back to their ill-fated season one relationship.
Yeah, you got a lot wrapped up in that one. That's another one of these storylines and these angles that are really just sitting back and just letting it unfold because I really don't know where it's headed, but There's definitely a sense that it's convoluted and could end badly.
It could. And on a personal level, no less, because with Ava kissing Raylan at the end there, which seemed like kind of a tactical thing. You know, she might be able to, you know, testing whether she might be able to use her feminine wiles on him. And it was, I would say that was a qualified no at that point in time there. But, you know, do you get the sense that that is possibly still to be determined on whether or not Raylan goes along with that for a second time in the course of the series?
Yeah, you know when he said I was thinking about sticking around for a little while, you know, my instinct says the moment that happens, why aren't you running for the hills? Like, get out of Dodge, not literally town, but just get out of that situation. I don't know what Ava's motivation is. I didn't quite get a sense for where it's headed. But that whole thing is playing a fire to me. So, again, I have no idea. But Raylan can't possibly be entertaining any sort of involvement above and beyond what is essential to the CI situation, especially with a newborn and the mother of said newborn awaiting his arrival daily. So I don't know what's happening there. It could be manipulation on Ava's part. I don't know, and I just don't like it, no matter how you slice it.
I understand, yeah. And again, my very strong guess is that to her it's all about self-preservation at this point and that she's trying to play as many angles as she possibly can. And she doesn't know that, again, at least at this point, I wouldn't say she's in the clear vis-a-vis when Duffy and Catherine Hale, but she's on firmer ground than she was previously because Albert Finkus didn't give her up. I had a very, very bad sense, as I'm sure you did, when Wynn and Catherine were talking about this earlier in the episode, and Raylan was saying, well, we'll get the people to Albert to make sure nothing happens, and Wynn was saying to Catherine, if we see any folks materialize in the direction of Albert, we'll know, and that'll confirm to us that Ava's a snitch. So a little bit of misdirection there in terms of how it played out. The marshals managed to stay one step ahead of the bad guys, but I'm sure you had the same thought I did of like, uh-oh, Raylan is not even going to see this one coming, and Ava's going to get exposed.
Yeah, which is not characteristic. I mean, Raylan does at times just kind of shoot from the hip and react, but If this ends up falling as badly as it feels like it might, it'll be a little out of character for him to have missed it completely.
Yeah, I think so as well. I certainly agree with that. The other angle of this thing, and the fact that it's taken this long to get to it, shows you how many different angles we had to cover tonight. It was Boyd basically having to go to Plan B right now. The Wizard blew himself to Kingdom Come last week, so him and Wynn Duffy have got to find Plan B for being able to get to the vault. And Plan B happens to be Ava's uncle, who he was not on very good terms with, largely, I guess, going back to the circumstances of Ava's marriage to Bowman Crowder. I caught that the guy's name was Zacharias, and if I heard correctly, did I hear correctly that the guy's last name is Randolph? Did I catch that right?
Yes, her maiden name, apparently.
Her maiden name, yes. So, in other words, you're telling me this guy's name is Zach Randolph. I find that very interesting. first thing I thought of, Jason, like, oh, my
insert
God.
Insert your own reference here.
Like, he doesn't look like Zach Randolph. He's a lot shorter and whiter than I thought Zach Randolph was, to be honest with you. But, I caught that at that point. Assuming that I heard the last name of Randolph correctly, that's exactly what they did. But this angle, that again, I really have to take my Stetson hat off here, my figurative one, to the co-creators of this show, Graham Yost, the creative crew, and everyone who was building on the vision of Elmore Leonard, because all this time we've been thinking it's going to be a frontal assault on the vault underneath the pizza portal to get the money, because what other way would there be? But duh, of course, this is Kentucky. Mines, tunnels, etc. The tunnels, I'm guessing, branching off from the mines. And this Zacharias Randolph, apparently knowing the back ways around the different things here, and you saw the rooting around at the end with Boyd and his people, and you saw the danger that can come from the methane gas and the sparks that come from trying to use the tools to get in there. But especially looking at the coming attractions for next week, looks like this is going to be done from underneath the pizza portal and more or less working as moles attacking it. And, hey, depending on how often they actually go in the vault to check what's in there and to make sure that everything is okay, it may be a period of time, assuming they pull this off before Avery and company knows that their money would be gone.
Yeah, I can't help but wonder how easy or difficult that's going to be. I mean, if we were talking about Ocean's 11 or something, you would just automatically assume that it, in and out, no big deal. But as we've seen, basically every time, ever since they started going back to blowing stuff up, that we're finding little casualties. Now, nothing major yet. Nobody's died, with the exception of Jake Busey. But I'm hesitating on this entire plan that Boyd's concocting, because it just seems like there's way too much potential for, like, catastrophic failure. And if that's
absolutely,
if Boyd goes out that way, I'm going to be really upset. So there's always that.
Boy, wouldn't that be an anticlimactic end of the show, huh? Episode, like, let's say 6.7, in the final season, Boyd expires from wounds suffered in trying to rob the pizza portal. That would be, I think we would have free reign to denounce this final season if that would happen. But again, for that reason, we know that's not going to be the way that it goes. It's really, really fascinating to think about how this could go. Like you said, the things that could go wrong, I can almost guarantee, I think, that not everybody from Boyd's crew makes it out of there. There's always some expendable guys, like poor Jimmy, who ended up getting sacrificed to the cartel last year. Boyd seems to shed these guys as he does his skin, and to always seem to come up with a new layer here in the form of henchmen for his crew. We'll have to see how that goes. We were speculating last week, because we've had a couple of build episodes in a row, And you had said at the time, and I kind of agree, 6.3 was probably either the greatest build episode the show's ever had or one of them. Last week, another very good one. This week, I agree with you, a pretty good one. Are we getting to that point? Because when you see the coming attraction for next week where they appear to be underneath the pizza portal underground there, I don't know if that's a test run. I don't know if that's going to be the actual deal, and they did a good job of not giving too much away. But 6.6, 6.7, whatever, we've got to get to this point where the Shiznit really gets real, and then they can kind of dial it back a little bit and then give us the wham-bam finale for the series and the season. Do you think we may get it next week? It seems to me it has to come at some point in the next 2 weeks.
I think it comes soon, but I'm skeptical that it happens next week.
Okay.
And I have no real factual basis for that. Just sort of trying to get a grip for where the pace started, where we are now, sort of, you know, where the momentum's going. I wouldn't be surprised if there's one or two more of these sort of build-up episodes, moving the chess pieces into place, and then we'll have a big episode. And then, like you said, they'll sort of regress a little bit. They'll collect themselves and set up for more of the big unveiling moment that draws the close to the series. But whether it's this week or it's 3 weeks from now, you're right. There has to be a spike as far as important details, story changing, maybe somebody dies, whatever. It has to be something major. It's a big deal where you and I may be yelling into our respective microphones, but then they've got to reel it back. That can't be the big thing. So, like I said a couple weeks ago, I don't think it's linear. I don't think this is going to be one of those things where it just keeps growing at the same rate until we get to episode 11, 12, or 13, and then it, you know, automatically just blows the roof off the place. They do. I do think you're right. There'll be something. It'll come back. Then it'll charge again. When that comes, I think has to be plus or minus 3 episodes from now.
I agree with everything you said there. And again, they can't continue to stall this through the course of the season here. It's definitely going to take less time than that, and it's going to allow for the progression again at the end of the season. Season 4, they were able to do that. They were able to stall it to, like, I think it was episode 9. You found out who Drew Thompson was, or maybe it was 10. Or 10 is where I think he went missing. I think that was the Get Drew episode. Episode 4-11 was the decoy episode. But most other seasons, you have to build to something significant, I think, prior to that, and then rebuild towards the end of the season, and it looks like that's what's happening here. I totally agree with you. The last question I have for you concerns the nexus for everything that is going on this season, and that, quite frankly, is Ava, who has the foot in the criminal world here and is dealing with Boyd and his associates, as well as reporting back to Raylan, and also now being in the eye of the storm vis-a-vis Avery, since she has been threatened by Avery, if anything happens with Boyd making a move on the pizza place, that they're all in danger. She seems like she's on firmer footing tonight, in that Albert essentially vouched for her with Wynn and with Mike when they went to try to, quote-unquote, torture the truth out of him. And so that's going to go back to Catherine, and Catherine's been the main one who's been suspicious. But we know this is not the end of Ava being in danger. The theory I would kind of postulate from here is that Ava's neck gets back into the noose in a serious way as the season goes along, as a result of her fear and her paranoia. And obviously she doesn't know that she's on firmer ground yet at this point. Do you think it's going to be self-destruction from Ava under the circumstances that ends up putting her head back in the noose, possibly fatally?
That's a good one. My first gut reaction to anything about Ava goes back to something I think we said last year in light of the Orange is the New Black sort of storyline. And that is that potentially her time in prison and maybe even this sort of period of her trying to figure things out and then becoming a CI and all of that. I think if she can just hold on, keep her sanity for a little while, we may be looking at that different Ava that we talked about last year, where she wasn't, we're never going to get back to the Ava of, say, the pilot episode. And I don't think we're ever going to get to a point where Ava's that woman that Sam Elliott's character Avery talked about last week, where there's some women that are stronger than the men they protect, and there's not. I don't think he's ever going to be the mob kingpin type of woman. But if she can hold firm for a little while and just get used to her surrounding, I don't think that will be of her own undoing. As a matter of fact, I've kind of held this theory throughout this whole process, dating back to last season, where Ava may be the one that comes out of this clean on the other end. Now, to what end that is, I have no idea. But we know we have Raylan and Boyd to worry about. We know we've got Avery and his whole situation. But if she plays her cards right, regardless of what that means, she could be the one that walks off into the sunset. So I don't know, but my instinct says that it's probably not going to be that she just caves and slits her own throat metaphorically.
You know, I'd like to see that from a storytelling perspective, because right now she's scared of her own shadow, and that seems like the obvious way to go. And I'm a fan of whenever this show and the other great shows out there go in a direction that doesn't seem really as obvious. And that would be a hell of a way to go. As you said, if she leveraged her experience from prison from last season into this real survival mode of where she's just pushing all these buttons to try to stay one step ahead of everybody else and manages to do so in the end, even if it's through a stroke of luck, that really would be something, wouldn't it, to see Ava in that spot? That to me would be one of the most impressive stories they could tell, is if she ends up not being a sacrificial lamb and if she ends up being able to take her season 5 experiences and use them to her benefit when she needs them the most. That you have stumbled on something, I think, Jason, that would be an amazing story for them to tell.
Yeah, and here's my parallel. And it's, what I'm going to mention has absolutely nothing to do with this show. It's not even the same sort of genre. But if anyone that is familiar with The West Wing or has seen it, you always had this impression that it was about the president and his staff. But in actuality, we discover through various interviews and rumors and such that it was actually a story about the deputy communications director. But Martin Sheen's character just played out so well that they had to change the way it went. And it could have been that this was always supposed to be about Raylan. But as we go through each season, we're seeing a lot of consistency with where Ava fits in. And that changes. But in the end, going out in the blaze of glory, Raylan and Boyd sort of harm themselves, and Ava's able to survive, we could look back on this and say, whoa, they absolutely pulled the okey-doke on us. I'm not saying necessarily that's going to happen, but it's a possibility. Because I think everybody out there is on an either a Boyd or a Raylan side, and that would absolutely make for one heck of a finish if in the end we resolve that storyline, but we also realize that maybe this show, Ava wasn't just a throw-in.
That would make that commercial they did leading into the season of the dream sequence of where Ava is locking Raylan and Boyd in a burning house, locking the door and walking away. What if that was a metaphorical spoiler for what we were able to get for the season? That would really be interesting if the truth was in front of us all along from the moment they started running that commercial. We shall see. Like I said, I think you have uncovered something very promising, Jason, no question about it.
All right, and that's the beauty of this show, is that the quality is so good that you really can't discredit anything. You know,
right.
We know what we want to see, but we may not see it. And it may be something else, and that something else may be phenomenal, because that's our expectation.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. I'm looking forward to 6-6 next week, and breaking it down with you. Thanks so much once again, Jason, for a great one. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on Mini Episode 521 of the FTH Lounge.